This morning we're giving class, short class, back here in Budapest, because it's a Janmashtami marathon. But interesting, Narada is talking about five types of irreligion. Novas. Vidaima, religious principles for which one is unfit. Parodharma, pretentious religion. Abhas, analogical religion. Upadharma, a cheating religion. Chaladharma. And, a lot more can be said than would be encompassed in 10 minutes about just each of these. But of course, in summary, since Dharma existed in the material world, cheating Dharma coexists with it side by side, because people either take up religious practice with material motives that they can't give up, or they utilize religious principles for their own ulterior purposes, or so many other reasons, which the definition of these different types of religions clarifies. And we see that these things both exist. They exist in the world outside us, and they also continue to exist within our own International Society for Krishna Consciousness, or at least they sort of manifest from within it, whether they continue to stay within it or not. For an example of such a irreligion is Maivad philosophy, which takes an authentic religious principle, which is the Brahman realization, or accepting the absolute truth and worshipping it in his impersonal Brahman feature, and trying to establish that as being supreme. So this is, for instance, the distinction between the Brahmavadi and the Mayavadi. The Brahmavadi knows that, yes, there is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, of whom the spiritual effulgence manifests, and they're attached to worshipping that for different reasons. One of them is that you don't have to surrender to the desire of a supreme person. But to then establish that, well, the supreme personality is actually Maya and nothing else exists other than Brahman, that then becomes real cheating. And Maya vadastrashtrashtram prachanam bodham uchate. And this is the philosophy that Shankaracharya was empowered to preach. And in the world that we live in, there are so many religions and so many types of, some of these religions are sort of traditional religions, well-established religions, other than more New Age, daily, weekly, different spiritualists come and go like waves in the ocean. But all of these are fall into the category of irreligion, these different types of irreligion. And here, instead, the importance is that sambandhagyan, devotees have to be properly situated in transcendental knowledge so that they're very clear about what is Dharma and what isn't Dharma. This is the characteristic of the mode of goodness, that people know what's what. Sattvam sanjayate jnanam, person is situated in knowledge. And that will then protect us. It will protect us from the influence of external so-called religious forces. Sometimes they tried to convert when we were here at this Woodstock. There were different branches of Christianity or Jesus people who were actually distributing books, or at least excerpts from the Bible, that were sort of compressed beginning and end with criticism of the Krishna consciousness movement. So, and they were also sort of rejected by standard Orthodox Church. And devotees need to be very clear about what it is that we're doing, why we're doing it, why we don't do any other things, so they don't become influenced, because the nature of beginners is that they have very weak faith. And the nature of weak faith is that they can become influenced by the arguments of others. And of course, what goes on outside the Krishna consciousness movement is in one sense a lot less innocuous than what may potentially go on inside, or at least inside before it becomes outside. And that is, again, different types of philosophies or ideology in the name of Krishna consciousness, in the name of preaching, which are also a dharma. And it's the duty of Brahmins, initiated devotees, senior devotees, to be properly situated in transcendental knowledge so that they aren't misled, and they ensure that other devotees are also not misled by this type of sort of philosophical approaches. And of course, we've seen in the years, well, even when Srila Prabhupada was present, then there were different types of ideas that arose within the society. Prabhupada is Krishna and such, or influences from outside, and Prabhupada was very, very, very firm and very strong about not allowing these influences to infiltrate the society. And when this one reference that I made to about Prabhupada being God, that those devotees Prabhupada sent outside, at least for some time, he kicked them out of the movement. And then, of course, there's other, since Prabhupada's time, we've seen others, for instance, deviants like Ritwik and so on. And they're also outside the movement. They're also banned outside. But then we also see often that there are ideologies, modes of conduct, and so on, that are not outside the Krishna consciousness movement, but are sort of inside. And that may be more of a Trojan horse factor than those clearly well-defined practices that are not within the confines of our premises. But in any case, Sambandha Gyan, Abhideya, devotees, we to really be very clear. What is our theology? What is our philosophy? What is our way of practice? What was it that Srila Prabhupada gave us so that we don't succumb to any of these, but that rather we're following that type of transcendental teaching that was left to us by Srila Prabhupada. We're adults. Our responsibility is our own. We can't blame other people. Oh, I didn't know. We have to know. So here Narada Muni summarizes and talks about these five. He says, religious principles that obstruct one from following his own religion is called Vidharma. Religious principles introduced by others are called Paradharma. A new type of religion created by one who is falsely proud and who opposes the principles of the Vedas is called Upadharma. That's like Ritvikism is Upadharma. Interpretation by one's juggling of words is called Chaladharma. And pretentious religious system manufactured by one who willfully neglects the prescribed duties of his orders of life is called Abhas, a dim reflection or false similarity. But if one performs the prescribed duties for his particular ashram and varna, why are they not sufficient to mitigate all miseries? So here Narada Muni emphasizes that if one properly prescribes and is aware what are my duties in terms of my spiritual practices, in terms of my varna, in terms of my dharma, and one actually follows them, then certainly one is protected from all of these others. So now the dogs are having their say. This is also upadharma. So we'll just stop there and continue tomorrow.